Today is Thursday, November the 16th, 2017. We're going to hear Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Toldos.
Thank you very much, everybody, for coming. If you would be so kind as to take your cell phones and if you could silence them, it would really be nice. Thanks. I'd like to wish everybody a good year of Shabbos and a good Shabbos that's coming up. Next week, we will not have turkey here. My wife will not make you turkey. And then, you know, just want to let
turkey
you know
roll.
Ahead of time.
Turkey roll.
Yeah, turkey roll. you'll have to eat turkey in your own homes next week. I'd like to thank those people who have donated some paper goods and plasticware. And just want you to know that it's appreciated. Everybody in the class appreciates it, and I appreciate it as well.
Thank you.
I'd like to also thank Rabbi Berger and Young Israel for being so generous and kind and allowing us to have this wonderful class here all these years. And I hope that we will be able to continue to have this class for many, many good, healthy years, all of us. There's something else that I wanted to say. Oh, those people who came to help me schlep all the food in, I really appreciate it. It's very kind, and it's a big mitzvah, and I just want you to know that I want to thank you publicly, but I'll keep your names secret. And the last thing I'd like to say is that I'd like to wish everybody a good Thanksgiving, but this class is being sponsored, and I'm going to let Reb Moshe, Moshe discuss it. Thank you for coming. We're going to be davening Arev about 3 minutes after the class.
Dr. Goldstein is sponsoring this class in memory of his mother, the first shirt site is Sunday, and
Monday,
second day of Kislev. Her name is Nitzchia Bas David. It should be a schus for her Elias Neshama.
Amen.
Parshas Toldos. The main question, I've discussed this question many times in the past, and to some degree the answer I'm going to give him, but be giving it in a different form or shape, is the answer that I have discussed also in the past. How is it that Yitzchak wanted to give the blessing, actually, that Yitzchak, I shouldn't say wanted to give the blessings, we can understand why he wanted to give the blessings, that the Yitzchak was initially determined to give the blessings to Esav. All right, he was blind, but nevertheless, where did he make his mistake in thinking that the brachos should be given over to Esav? I'm going to first suggest terutzim that, truth is, both these answers I thought of, and then later on someone pointed out to me that my father, in a different form or shape, suggested some of these answers, and then I'm going to mention an answer that is completely different. But My father's approach was that it's not that Yitzchak did not recognize that Yaakov was more spiritually inclined than Esav was. But Yaakov felt that Esav had leadership ability. Yitzchak was an introvert. He was a Yoshev Olam. He stayed in his tent. He did not mix. He did not mix with people. Today, they probably would have sent him to a psychiatrist. Said he's depressed. All right, but whatever it is. But so he felt that he lacked leadership ability. Now, my father didn't mention this, but when you take a look how the Torah presents Abraham to us, when the three angels are coming, Abraham is Yoshev Pesach Oel. Abraham stands by the door of the tent. In other words, he was a person, on one hand, that mixed with people. He was waiting to see who would go by. By today's lingo, he would have been called a Kiruv man. All right, so he would... But at the same time, he knew that there was times to withdraw into the tent. The tent was always the symbol in Judaism of Torah learning. So Abram was Yoshev Pesach Oel. He stood at the entrance. He was both in the tent and out of the tent. Yitzchak, somewhat more introverted, but even Yitzchak, from time to time, the Torah says, "Vayetze Yitzchak l'suach besada." Many of the mafarshim, of course, the Gemara explains l'suach besada, and I'll get into that later on. That he went to daven in the field. But many of the farshim say, "Vayetzi Yitzchak l'suach besada." Either he went to take a walk, or he went to talk. Sicha in Aramaic means to talk. So Yitzchak, even though he was introverted, but he would go out at certain times. But Yaakov is portrayed as a Yoshev Olam. He didn't go out. He stayed in the he stayed in the tent the whole time. He lacked that leadership ability. Also, Esav was mundanely involved, whereas Yaakov was spiritually involved. And to lead a nation, of course it's important that the leader of the Jewish nation should have a spiritual perspective, but at the same time you need someone who is aware of what's going on. So Yaakov felt that a proper approach would be to make a joint mission to bring Yaakov and Esav together as partners. In halacha, they talk about a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Yisachar was the one who was sitting and learning in the tents. Zvulun was the ones that went out on the sea. He was in commerce, but he supported Yisachar. Without Zvulun, Yisachar couldn't function. So it was Yitzchak's idea that maybe we should put the two together. Rivka understood that there couldn't be an alliance. Rivka understood that there couldn't be an alliance with Yaakov and Esau. And that, in a sense, Yaakov will have to adopt traits that made him suited for a leadership role. In other words, Yitzchak thought Esau will be the king and Yaakov will be the Kohen Gadol. But Rivka understood that there can't be an alliance, and certainly the leadership role cannot be given over to Esau. Yaakov is going to have to adapt. He's going to have to change his approach. He's going to have to step out of the tent. And that's why he had to go to the house of Lavan. He had to learn to deal with people, not only with people within his community, but he had to learn to deal, as all leaders have to deal with people outside his community. And the interesting thing is, and I've mentioned the Mara Nevuchim, the Rambam in Mara Nevuchim says, as soon as Yaakov leaves his parents' house, he comes to Beiskel, and he has this dream of a sulam mutzavatza, of a ladder that stands firmly on the ground and reaches the heavens. In a sense, figuratively, it could be the idea of joining heaven and earth. But the Rambam Moren Vochem says, and Malachei Elohim, Olam B'yardim, angels of God are going up and down. What does that mean? Angels of God going up and down. And the Rambam says, in the Arach HaZok, he explains it a little differently, but in the Moren Vochem, he was already asked in one of his letters about the contradiction. But in the Moren Vochem, he says, a malach, what does a malach mean? The literal translation. A messenger, an agent. The malachim represent the Nevi'im, the prophets. The prophets are the ones who are sent as agents of God. And a prophet first has to perfect himself. He has to climb up the ladder. And then he has to go down the ladder to fulfill his mission. It's not so easy. It's not easy to climb the ladder. But once you reach the top of the ladder, it becomes difficult to go down the ladder also. People who become accustomed to a total spiritual life, if I can use some space term, have trouble with re-entering. So Yaakov, why? But the Rambam Mor Nevuchim doesn't discuss why is this vision given to Yaakov. But the answer is very simple. This vision was given to Yaakov because there's a message for Yaakov. Yaakov, it's time that you have to go out of the tent. It's not enough. Till now, you climb till the top of the ladder. Now you have to go down the ladder. And so he had to be involved both in the mundane, as well as he had to be involved with the message of building a Jewish nation. Now, and I want to explain it for a couple minutes from a halachic perspective. There is a whole discussion. The Gemara says, what happens if someone takes a vow not to get benefit from the descendants of Avram, of Abraham? It's success. He could get benefit from the descendants of Yishmael. Shmuel's the son of Avraham, but the Torah says, "Ki v'Yitzchak yatara lechazara." From Isaac shall your descendants be called, shall your seed be called. So Yishmael, to a certain degree, is excluded. Yishmael was excluded from birth. We say in the Haggadah, there's a passage in Yoshua. We mentioned in the Haggadah, I gave Avraham Yitzchak. It doesn't say it gave Yishmael. Yishmael was excluded at birth. But by Yaakov, etain li Yitzchak es Yaakov es Esav. I gave Yitzchak both Yaakov and Esav. Now, but the Gemara says, what about Esav? What happens if someone takes an oath not to derive benefit from the descendants of Avram? Can he derive benefit from the descendants of Esav? And the Gemara says, yes, he can, because it says, Ki v'Yitzchak yikar lechazara, from Yitzchak shall your descendants be called. Not all of Yitzchak. Esav is excluded. But the answer is, the Reb Chaim pointed it out, my great-grandfather, he said, there's a difference between Yishmael on one hand and Yaakov and Esav on the other hand. Yishmael is excluded from birth. So it doesn't even mention him. Yitzchak's children, only one of them would be his successor. But it wasn't determined at birth who would be the successor. But one of them would be the successor. May Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. From Yitzchak shall be your descendants. But not all of Yitzchak. This is what gives them the ability to sell the Bechorah. Where? How can you sell the Bechorah, the birthright? How can you? It doesn't make sense. Halachically, you know, one of the big problems a rabbi who is a Kohen has is how do you officiate at funerals? A rabbi, a Kohen, is not allowed to go to be in the room. Okay, there are all kinds of answers. I'm not getting into the halachic aspects. But years ago, there were some rabbis that they invented a new way. They sold their kahuna. They would get somebody, and they would make a deal. You know, like you sell the chametz. So they sold their birthright. They considered it like chametz. So they sold their birthright. But of course, it's ridiculous. You can't sell your status. But here there was a special law, one of the two. So this enables Yaakov to buy the Bechorah, to buy the birthright from Esav. Now, the Yaakov, but what did Yitzchak felt? Yitzchak felt the pasuk ki v'Yitzchak yikar lechazara. From Yitzchak will be your descendants. All of Yitzchak will be your descendants. But Rivka understood ki v'Yitzchak yikar lechazara. Not that she understood; she didn't. She really didn't understand. But then she went lidrosha salakin. She went to a navi. Our sages say it was Shem. And Shem told her, Shnei goyim bevitneich, Shnei lulim me'ayich yiparedu, two different nations are going to come from you and they're going to go opposite ways. So she understood because of what the Navi told her, because of what the prophet told her. She understood that only one of her descendants are going to be the successor. She understood that there couldn't be an alliance. Whereas Yitzchak felt that ki Yitzchak lekar chazara, all of Yitzchak will perpetuate the Jewish nation. So,
has anybody ever asked the question, you know, why she didn't discuss that with Yitzchak?
So it's one of two things. First of all, she probably did not want to aggravate him. Simple answer.
She didn't want
to. Want to aggravate him. Very simple.
Good wife.
Huh?
Good wife.
Do you have any marriage counselors here? Anyway, so the and we don't know if the Navi told her to keep it a secret or not to keep it a secret. You know, sort of like a professional the Hipple was. So, but in any case. Anyway, Yitzchak wanted to create an alliance, but Rivka understood that there couldn't be an alliance, and because of this, Yaakov had to learn to, in a sense, step out of the tent. Now, I think there's another possible answer. And I've touched on it before. Our sages say, I mentioned the pasuk, Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach Basada. Yitzchak goes out, L'suach Basada, so some say to talk in the field. Some say to take a walk in the field, but the Gemara and the Targum say, and I mentioned it last week actually, that he went to daven. He went to pray. That's how the Targum explains it. Ein sicha l'tefillah. So it's very interesting. When the Torah talks about Avram praying, so it says, El Hamakom, he goes to the place. By Yaakov, by Yifka Bamakom, he had an encounter at the place, with the place. God is also called Makom. By Yitzchak, when the Torah talks about Yitzchak praying, it's Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach B'sadeh. Yitzchak goes out to the fields. Yitzchak goes out to the fields to daven. And the question is, why does Yitzchak go out to the fields to daven? Why the fields? And I think the answer is very simple. Because the essence of prayer, and I've mentioned it so many times, the essence of prayer is, I'm standing in front of God. Omei lefnei hashchina. I am talking to God. And to a certain degree, I am coming close to God. Or God is appearing to me, whatever it is. But the idea of this sense of feeling close to God is an essential factor in tefillah and davening. I mentioned my great-grandfather, Chaim, said that the kavana, that you're standing before God, is essential to the whole davening. It's because if you don't realize you're talking to God, you're talking to the wall. It's not davening. It's not a law that you have to have concentration that you're standing before God. If you don't realize you're standing before God when you're davening, it's no davening. You're talking to the wall. So the essence of davening is being close, sensing the presence of God, that you're talking to God, you're communicating with God.
He never answers.
He answers, but not necessarily orally. Okay. Those who answer orally, usually that's where it ends. Anyway, so. The person has to feel close to God. Where did Yitzchak feel closest to God? Basada in the field.
He also said,
huh?
He also felt that he saved him when he went
to the Akedah. Sure. So Yitzchak, in a sense. God, he saw God in nature. Now, Torah tells us about Esav. Esav was Ish Shodei Atzayid, Ish Sada. He was a man of the field. Now, you have to understand that Yitzchak, he wanted to believe that Esav wasn't a Russia. He wanted to believe that Esav had a spiritual drive. And Esav built that up, as our sages tell. He would ask all kinds of shilas, you know, that really had no basis or foundation. He put on a frum image for his father. So he said, but Yitzchak had this desire to see that. So he felt. Esav spends all his time in the fields. And I used to go to the fields, the field close to God. Possibly Esav is following in my footsteps. Possibly he has this spiritual drive also. What led me to the fields? What led me to nature? Maybe that is bringing Esav to nature also. And he wanted to believe that. Because of that, he thought maybe he could give him the brachas. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Sifri, when he talks about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, love of God, so he says, the Sifri asks the question, how does one fulfill the mitzvah of loving God? How does one fulfill the mitzvah of loving God? Sifri gives two answers. Histakel de Taraso, look into the Torah, and histakel de Olamo, and look at the world. Look at science. Look at nature. And my mother told me when she was on the boat, coming to America as a little girl, so that her mother used to admire, there was a Bal Musar, I think it was Rabbi Yisrael Stam, I'm not sure who it was, one of the big Bal Musar of the time was on the boat also, and he would stand out on the boat and look at the oceans to see nature, a different perspective of nature than he had when he was on land, because by looking at nature, in a sense, he saw the greatness of God. That's his stakel b'olamo, look in the world. But there are those who feel closest to God, the stakel b'taraso, when they look in the Torah. In a sense, we could suggest that Yaakov and Esav, in Yitzchak's mind, represented these two different perspectives of Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love of God. Of course, Yitzchak misunderstood Esav, but in Yitzchak's mind, because he wanted to believe that, Yaakov was the Yoshev Olam. We can put together my father's approach with the approach that I'm suggesting, that he wanted to believe that Yitzchak was the histakel b'taraso, the one who sees God, who feels closest to God in the learning of Torah, whereas Esav was histakel b'olamo. Look. And I always mention, on one hand we say histakel b'olamo, look at the world, look at nature, look at science. My father's brother, not the Rav, my uncle was Rav Shmuel. He was a chemist, and we found poems that he wrote. He was very capable. He wrote a lot of poems, and all the poems had to do with how he sees God in science. How he sees God in science. And he also, in music, he had a worldly perspective. He was able to see, he had this sense of seeing God in all kinds of situations. But some of the greatest agnostics or atheists or scientists. Sistaka bolomo. But the Rambam says, Yisod ha-Yisodos, the foundation of all foundations, va'amud ha-chochmos, and the pillar of all knowledge, leida, to know, sheyesh sham matzi rishon, there is one who was first, v'hu mamsi kol nimtza, he brings into being everything that is found, b'shamayim v'aretz u'beinehem, from heaven and earth and in between them. And all that emanates from him, the Rambam says. So the idea is, he says, the foundation of all foundations is a knowledge of God. The question is, what's the difference between knowledge of God and belief in God? This is a question that everybody raises. And so some say knowledge of God means that you know Aristotle's proofs of God's existence. My uncle said no. My uncle said knowledge of God, the word knowledge, he says, in the pasuk b'chol drachecha da'eil, in all your ways know him. What does that mean, in all your ways know him? So as I mentioned, my uncle said, you look at sunrise, you don't just see the sun rising, you see God raising the sun. Okay, it's not that he raises the sun, but it appears to us that way. Okay, whatever. So, in other words, you have to see. My uncle said the word leida doesn't just mean to know, but it means to experience. Belief does not necessarily mean to experience. The higher level of leida, of knowledge of God, is experiencing God. And there are those, so when you look at nature, it offers you the opportunity to experience the presence of God. It offers you the opportunity to experience a sense of closeness to God. But in Kabbalah they say also that science, that nature is a curtain that hides God. And it all depends. If it's the foundation of all foundations that you want to experience God, you can use science to run away from God, and you can use science and nature to feel closeness to God. That was the difference between Yitzhak and Esav. Yitzchak, Yetzir Yitzchak Lasuch Besada, he went out to the field because there he was able to experience God's presence in a most maximum sense. Esav ran to the fields to run away from God. To run away because in the house he would see everybody feeling close to God. So he ran to the fields to run away from God. So we could put my father's answer and my answer together, and we could suggest that Yaakov understood, on one hand, we need histakel b'parasa, we need people who sense the presence of God, who feel closeness to God when they learn Torah. And of course we have to sense the presence of God when we look at the world. And so he felt each of them was strong in one area. And because of this, he wanted to perhaps create a union between the two of them. And Rivka understood that Esav did not experience God in the fields. And it's interesting, when Yaakov comes to bring the dinner to Yitzchak, So the Medrash tells us, it's that Yaakov said, that Yitzchak said, Hinei reyach b'ni, k'reyach hasada sher beruchu Hashem. the smell is the smell of the Sada that God blessed him. And in the sense, in the Medrash says it was the smell of Gan Eden that came in with Yaakov, but he thought it was Esav. In other words, what was his goal? What is Gan Eden? What is Gan Eden? One hand, Gan Eden. Look at all the pictures. You have all these fruit trees, and of course, they have an apple tree. Anyway, so you have all
Rashi.
But tapuchim is not apples. That's a modern Hebrew.
Stay tapuchim.
Machlok is what tapuchim is, but the one, you know, many opinions are brought down.
Tapuzim,
but not that. That's the second opinion that's not mentioned. But there are those that say it was grapes. There are those that say it was figs, dates, esrog. You can go through your list, but two things you won't find on the list: oranges and apples. Okay, so there are some people, because of that, when they make the charosis, so they put another fruit in also, because there are those who feel, many feel, that tapuach doesn't mean an apple. So they'll put in figs, dates, whatever. Sfardim tend to put in figs.
Figs can do because they cover themselves with the leteina.
Oh, and so what?
So there was food.
Yeah, there was no question they had those foods. I mean, those were the foods of the Middle East. I mean, in any case, I mean, apples was probably a later. It came from Michigan, okay. Anyway, so but what was Gan Eden? Gan Eden was you have all the pictures, you have all these fruit trees and everything, but more than that, the sense of God's presence in the garden, and that's so he thought it was Esav. He reached that goal. He felt that Esav was involved, feeling closest to God nature, and the reach of Gan Eden, which represents the smell of the field, was coupled in a sense with the presence of God. So when he came in, when he thought Esav came in, he felt this was the achievement. This is what he believed. This is what he wanted to believe. But actually, it was Yaakov. It was Yaakov. Yaakov, this was the beginning of Yaakov's lesson, that it's time to step out of the tent. It's time to see God, not just his stakel b'tarasso, but his stakel b'olamo.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How you doing,
Doctor? Very good.
So, we're going to be down with Myron in about 3 minutes,
okay.
And we can use everybody's help.
Okay.
And I'd like to just wish everybody a good good Shabbos, a good Thanksgiving.
No class.
Lynn is not making you turkey.
No, Lynn, no turkey.